Father, we thank you that you are present at this meeting. Father, we thank you for your business people with a heart for business. Father, biblically we see many, many business people. Abraham was a businessman. Even Solomon was a businessman. Joseph was a businessman. Father, the disciples, many of the disciples were businessmen. And Father, we thank you that we can trust you to intervene in our finances. We trust you that you intervene in our taxes, that you give us wisdom with our taxes. Father, we trust you that as we continue to serve you and as we continue to seek your face, that you give us wisdom and understanding into the system. Father, we thank you that the word lives in us and that revelation comes from our spirit to our understanding to work the system in a righteous way so that finances will come in for the kingdom. Father, so that your word can be preach to the ends of this earth. Father, tonight I thank you that as I yield to the Holy Spirit, I thank you that revelation flows from my spirit to my understanding. And I thank you, Lord, that I correctly articulate what you want me to say. And I thank you that your word burns into our spirit, onto the tablets of our hearts, Lord. Thank you that our minds are renewed and that we do not forget what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to recap, we started last week discussing repositioning for success. And we said that it's a season where we have to reposition in this new season. And we saw that this is a culmination of different seasons. We saw that the 7 days of creation are parallel to 7 millennia. Because the Word of God tells us that one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. And since creation, we have 6,000 days, or 6,000 years, which in God is 6 days. God took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth, and on the 7th day he rested. We're in between the 6th and the 7th millennium at this point. And the scripture tells us the 7th millennium is the millennium of peace, the millennial reign of Christ. Now, how this all is going to fit together, that's not the scope of tonight's teaching. But we're right in between the 6th and the 7th millennium, or the 6th and the 7th day of God. So there's a whole lot of things happening. Also, since Christ came, we're into the 3rd day. Christ was resurrected on the 3rd day. It's 2,000 years since Christ, which means 2 days. Which means we're going into a 3rd day of God, which means it's a resurrection day. And we know what the scripture says about the millennial reign, resurrection, etc., etc. Also, we've just had a turn of a century and the turn of a millennium. Now, historically, and we'll still get into those things, a whole lot of things happen. A whole lot of things transpire at that point. It's a change of a spiritual season. And so we need to discern what God wants us to do. And we discussed some of those things. We need to redefine our purpose. We need to redefine our vision. We need to see where we're going. Because what's happening, God is expanding a whole lot of us. I'm having to learn a whole lot of new things. I'm having to find out a whole lot of new things. Everybody's being stretched on all sides. Because God wants us to possess the land. And it takes work and it takes effort. And if you want to possess the land, you've got to spy out the land. And the one that spies out the land for you is the Holy Spirit. And you can only discern what the Holy Spirit is seeing out there and showing you if you're connected to Him. And it's important. It's a time of decision making. There's turmoil in the world. And there's only one solution to the problems of this world. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are the ones that can do that, especially in business. Because a lot of people in business are unethical. They're just doing it because they want to please themselves. They want to feed their own flesh. There's no real purpose in it. And we discussed that. We discussed the change of season. We saw in Matthew 16 from verse 1, we saw that Jesus was talking about the different kinds of weather. He said, if it's fair weather, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the heaven is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather. For the heaven is red and lowering in the morning. He says you can discern the signs of each day. You can for a fisherman. They look at the weather and they see, okay, nowadays they listen to the weather reports. But in those days they looked at the sky and said, okay, we shouldn't go out to fish today. And he said, you can discern those things, but you cannot discern spiritual things. He says, you know how to discern the face of heaven or the weather, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now that's why there's people like me, and that's why I relate to men of God that can discern the times and the seasons. There's a definite change of season. Mark my words, you're in it. It really started manifesting about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Major change started coming. And we shouldn't be looking for signs and so on. We should be walking by faith. We should be pressing in by faith. We should discern the times and the seasons by the Spirit of God. And that's what we discussed. Then in Jeremiah 8 verse 7, we read about the stork in heaven who knows her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgments of God. A simple animal out there knows exactly when to change the season. And we saw that the stork arrives in Palestine on March 21. Now tell me something. I've never seen a stork read a book or anything. But they arrive in Palestine on March 21. And you and I complain that God can't take care of us, yet he can tell a stork when to arrive at a certain place? People will say, oh, it's instinct and all that. Come on, man, please. You want to know when there's going to be lots of rain? If you've got tall trees in your garden, look at what the, what do they call it? Bishops. Funke. Look what they do. They start building nests very high. Who told them it's going to rain? Who told them it's going to flood? Look at the rivers, where there are streams or rivers. And you see, if they build, they are building their nests close to the water. If they build their nest close to the water, you can expect there's going to be a drought. How do they know that? They know 3 or 4 months ahead of time. I mean, they build their nests. If there's going to be big rain, watch in your own garden. If you have those birds in your garden, you'll see they build very high. Also, you look at the ants. If there's going to be massive flooding and lots of rain, ants will start congregating in high areas. These ant hills and so on. You'll see that they start building new nests. You'll see that. These are signs that God has given us. But how do the ants know? Unless God's telling them. I mean, you can blame instinct for a whole lot of stuff, but an ant doesn't know that it's going to rain in 3 months' time. It's got to be God. So we looked at the stork that could understand when to go to Palestine and then wait there for 6 weeks. And the stork doesn't have a television set or a radio to find out when the weather is good in Europe. Stays for about 6 weeks. It stays in Palestine and it rests. Then it flies to Europe when it's warm. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And we said the judgment there is the Hebrew word mishpat, which means the way that God decides and thinks about things. In other words, how he judges things. The same as what you do. While I'm thinking about this situation, I'm making a judgment. So not all judgment is bad, you know. And in our case, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. If you're a born-again child of God, you can tap into the mind of Christ. And then you will know your season. And that's what we are talking about. The stork flies during daytime at great altitudes in the heavens. The air or the heavens is the element they were created to dwell in. You and I were created to dwell in the spiritual realm. Now, if you don't have Christ, then you get into the spiritual realm with all sorts of other stuff. All demonic ways. Glassy and whatever. Astral projection and all these things that they do. Yes, you can enter into the spirit world with that and you can find out stuff about things and situations. But the end result of that is death, because it'll destroy you in the end. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way. that you can truly and safely walk in the spirit world, and that's through Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus protects you from deception out there. And that's why you have the Word of God. The Word of God is like a handbook. When I was a fighter pilot flying fighter jets in the Air Force, we had a number of handbooks. And before you would fly, apart from the fact it takes you 3 years to train, but before you would fly an aeroplane, especially on your own, you will memorize that book and you will get 100% for your exam. And the first time round, if you don't get 100% the first time round, you're off the course. You never come back. Okay, later on, maybe you get 99.5%. But there's a reason why. Because you need to know this thing. Your mind needs to be renewed to the point where your hands just automatically press the right buttons when there's an emergency. And we do what the pilots do, a blindfold test. They put you in the cockpit. The instructor stands on the wing, on the ground, put a blindfold on, and he says, this emergency. And then with your eyes closed, you've got to say, I press that, I pull that switch, I press that lever, I do this. And you've got to say it out loud to him. So it's got to come like that. It's not second nature. It's first nature. And this has got to become first nature, because this is first nature. Christ is your new nature. You are a born-again child of God. He says when you are born again, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature. That's why we hammer the Word of God. Because without the Word of God, you cannot dwell in the Spirit. You cannot tap into the Spirit realm, because you'll get deceived. And Christ is the Word. You were made for the spiritual realm. Just like the stork flies up in the heavens. It doesn't walk all the way to Palestine. I mean, that'll look really funny, wouldn't it? All these things with their long legs walking to Palestine, and then from Palestine walking all the way to Europe. You know what we used to do in the simulators with the aircraft, with the jet fighters? We used to see if we can ride on the map. There's a massive map, and then there's a little aeroplane. And we used to see if we can drive all the way from Cape Town to Jan Smuts in those days, or Johannesburg International. We'd drive all the way and see how long it would take. And it would take forever, because the aeroplane is not designed to drive on roads. We used to do that just for the fun. And the funny thing is, we used to turn the aeroplane, take off, turn it upside down, and put it down on the ground, and you would still hear the tires squeak. It was quite funny. It didn't crash. But an aeroplane was made to fly in the air. That's why it is such an economical way to travel. I mean, if I had to go by car or walk or something to Europe, it would take me how long? A long time. But you can fly in a matter of 12 hours. You can, with a matter of 12 to 15 hours, you can be anywhere in the world. Because an aeroplane is designed to fly in the air. You and I were designed to walk in the spiritual realm, yet also be in the natural at the same time. Allowing the Spirit of God to impact the natural through your life. Amen? I've got a newspaper clipping here. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Hunter S. Thompson, a famous journalist who recently died last week or something. Now, this comes from one of the one of the Sunday newspapers, and the article's written by a well-known South African journalist, and I'm not going to mention names as this is recorded. But without the Word of God, without the influence of the Spirit of God in your business affairs, you will do this. A lot of people have done it. You know that. Anyway, let me read the first few paragraphs. He says here, so the great gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson sat down in his favorite chair in front of his typewriter, put a gun in his mouth, and killed himself. Now this man is very successful. As a journalist, he made lots of money. He wrote many books. He influenced many things, situations. That's what he does at the end of his life. But this is the clincher. Listen to this. I find it hard to express how much I admire the way he ended his life. Then he continues, to live exactly the way you choose and to die on your own terms whenever you think the time is right strikes me as a good definition of personal freedom. Indeed. In Peter Pan, J.M. Barrie wrote, to die is an awfully big adventure, but few people can muster the courage for it. Thompson's exit has the flair of a great adventurer moving on to the next challenge. Whatever he finds in the next realm, the guy who exposed fear, etc., etc., and loathing in Las Vegas, blah, 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 and so he carries on. So he couldn't have been that happy. He couldn't have been that successful. Now, you can read the whole thing afterwards if you want to. The man was very successful in his business. He was well off. He took care of his wife. He did extremely well. But if all you can do at the end of that is to shoot yourself, then what's the purpose? That man lost his purpose. And this is why we have these meetings. But you know what? When there's a change of season, as I shared last week, it's like when you're at the beach, you go into the water, and when the water's about here, almost chest high, you're in between waves. The one wave comes, you jump the wave like that, and then the wave goes towards the beach. You cannot see the land, and then the water all of a sudden goes shallow like this, and there's another wave approaching. And that's where we are spiritually. We're in changing seasons. And more confusion exists in that time than at any other time. Because you can get confused in the beach. I remember doing that, especially when I was younger. Then I'm not sure. Is land that way or is... And if you're not careful, you can drown. And it's the same now. I tell you, since about 6 months ago, we've had more phone calls and emails about, please tell us, what is God saying? Because we can't hear God. We don't know what's going on. And I have to tell them, it's a change of season. And God has called Anika and myself to discern these things. We see these things. And we've been able to minister into thousands of lives, government leaders, where they were almost going to make silly decisions and make life-changing decisions based on emotion and on the confusion of the moment. And we were able to say, don't do that, do this. It's a responsible job on my side, I can tell you, because if I miss it, and I have missed it, and I've had to go to people and say, sorry, I missed it, I misunderstood what God said. But thank God, as we grow in maturity with the Lord, we start understanding these things better. We discern the seasons. But we're in a change of season. And normally with the change of season, there's an increase. There's an increase with us. God's expecting us to do a whole lot of stuff. Which in the natural, how are we going to do this? Well, the Lord simply says to me, there's the internet and there's a library. So do I argue with God? No, I can't. You've got to find out. You've got to learn. Because it doesn't tell you in this book, it doesn't tell you how to program computers, does it? Well, I've had to learn these things. Because all of our children are overseas, they're living there, they're living their own lives, they're growing up and so on. So somebody's got to help with the office machines and computers. So guess what? I'm the IT specialist now. Thank God for Derek. He gets quite a few phone calls. Derek, what do I do now? But I'm learning. I mean, but that's just a simple example. In the same way that migratory birds were created to live in the heavens, you and I were created to live our lives in the spiritual realm. That is where, that's your source. That is where you find out what your purpose is. That's where you redefine your purpose, because you got to do that now. I gave a word to Howard recently, and I said to him, you're about 10% into this new move that God's got you into. And as he goes, he's starting to see other things opening up. In a year or two, you're gonna look back and say, wow, I never thought this was possible. That's why a man like this kills himself, because he does not have inside information. If he had the word of God, I believe that he wouldn't have done that. Because he would understand why he's there. He could train so many people. Just a simple thing. He could train me, Because I'm busy writing books and stuff, so he can teach me how to write better than what I am. The spiritual realm is the realm where God lives and where he sustains everything with his love, his light, his life, and his presence. And you and I as business people, because you've got to relate this to business. You've got to influence your situation, your job, your company, your organization, the clients that you deal with, the people who you render a service to. You've got to minister to them in love, in the light of God, in the life of God, in the presence of God. Your life can touch their lives many times. Many times when I used to see clients. You know, the first few times when you go and visit the client. Hello, Jan, how are you? But, you know, they quickly become comfortable with you. And then the third or the fourth time, guess what happens when you get there? No, I don't know if it's worth it anymore. What do you mean it's not worth it anymore? No, well, this and that and that. And I was able to minister into that, into their lives, into their business. And this is how this started. Give them a word from the Lord. Speak into their lives. By the gifts of the Spirit, you speak into people's lives. That's what we can do. If they're out in the world, they can only guess. They can go on knowledge, but knowledge can only go so far. We enter into this new season by faith. And that's normally the problem situation, faith. Because faith, you know, people, well, do you believe? Yes, I believe. What do you believe? Well, I believe. According to Hebrews 11, the first few verses, faith is a substance, faith is a spiritual force. Everything that you see, the earth and the heavens and everything, that comes out of the substance of faith. Hebrews 11 talks about that, the substance of faith, because nothing existed before that. It comes out of the heart of God. God is the author and finisher of your faith. That's what the word tells us. So faith brings substance into being, if I can put it that way. Something that didn't exist before comes into being. It's created out of nothing. It's not out of nothing. It's out of faith. Faith is a substance. Substance of faith comes from the heart of God. And we'll get into that, explaining it clearly from Scripture. The currency of exchange in the spiritual realm is our faith. Just like if I go to you and I buy a house. How do I get that house from you? Apart from signing the papers. I've got to pay for it with money. That's the means of exchange in the natural realm. But the means of exchange in the spiritual realm is faith. God says, he says, he's only pleased by faith. It's faith that pleases God. He says, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Believe what? You see, you can pull things from the spiritual realm into the natural. It's the same way, if I can use an example, and maybe we'll see that here one of these evenings. If I pray for somebody who has one leg shorter than the other, and I mean, I think most of us have seen that. I mean, I've prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people where one leg is shorter than the other, and it grows out in front of my eyes. Where does it come from? It comes from the spirit world. God lengthens the leg. It's the same as if somebody has no eyeball. That's not, I've never prayed for anybody with no eyeball, so I can't say. But we know of many testimonies. Where there's no eyeball, God puts a new eyeball in. Where does the eyeball come from? It comes from the spirit world. We release our faith, we give our faith to God, and he gives substance to that faith. Amen? The change of season as business people will only be negotiated as you walk in faith. And faith comes how? By hearing the word of God. Where does faith come from? Apart from the word. It comes from God. Let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12 verse 3 says this. For by the grace means unmerited favor of God, given to me, I warn every one of you not to estimate and think of yourself more highly than what you ought to think, but to rate your ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. The King James speaks of the measure of faith. Each one of us, if you're a born-again child of God, God has given you a measure. The measure. It says, the degree of faith. The measure. Now, that's God's measure. I don't know how big the measure is, but it says the measure. So obviously in heaven, there's some kind of a measure. God has decided, when you serve me, I give you a measure. And he comes and he gives you the measure. However he does that. You have the measure of faith. He can only give you the measure of faith if faith is something. It's got to be something. It's not just, we believe. Believe what? Faith is a spiritual force. It's a force. It's something that God gives you. Amen? Romans 10. Verse 17. So faith comes. Faith comes by hearing what is told, or the word of God, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. You cannot get faith by preaching of Buddha or Muhammad or any of that. It's the word of Christ that brings faith. It says here, of Christ the Messiah himself. That's the only way that you get faith. Because it comes from God. We just read that God gives that faith, the measure of faith to you. And it comes through the word of God. As you hear the word of God. So if you don't have the word of God, you don't have faith. I know there have been seasons in my life where, because of situations, you don't spend that much time in the word of God. And it's just you cannot believe over that threshold. It's like you hit a wall. But the moment you get into the Word and you start hearing what He's saying to you, you can start stepping over. And you can start believing things into manifestation. Amen? Because that's the currency of exchange. Faith means that you accept something which you cannot yet see. You see, sometimes what we do, we work back to front. I mean, I've never seen anybody that starts a braai fire and then starts a tiny little fire with a few pieces of grass, fine little sticks, and then says, and he lights it, and I mean, it'll burn for about 30 seconds, and then says to that fire, if you give me more fire, I'll give you more wood. Nobody goes, remember in the days of the coal stoves? I remember we had coal stove in our house. And in winter that was very nice to sit in front of that. But you never went to the stove before there was coal in it and said, if you give me some heat, I'll give you some coal. You don't do that. But in the spiritual realm, we try and do that. We say to God, God, do that, and then I'll believe. We're in a change of season. The only way you're going to negotiate this change of season as a businessman, especially as a businessman or a businesswoman, is if you do it by faith. You've got to do it by faith. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. The very element we live in is the spiritual realm, and it should be natural for us to live there at all times and be nurtured by God's Spirit. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's have a look at that. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. I didn't say that. It's written in my Bible. What does your Bible say, Howard? Says the same thing. Okay. Without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. For whoever would come near to God must believe that He exists, and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. How? By faith. Because God is here tonight. I'm aware of His presence. So, where is He? He's here. But you know what? When you came in here, He came in with you. Because if you're born again child of God, it says that He lives within you. It says, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lives in you. That's what the scripture says. It's not the scope for us to go into that. I mean, most of us know the word. He lives in you. The church is not this building. You know, people come into a building like this. No, we're going to talk softly now because we don't want to disturb God. I mean, come on. If God is disturbed by somebody speaking loudly, then I don't want to serve Him, because then He must be the size of a mouse. And from what I understand, the scripture tells me that He takes one step over across the universe. That's especially in the Old Testament, talks about that. He says He measures the span of the universe with the span of His hand. How big is a God like that? He said when He created the heavens and the earth, He says He took sand in His hand and He measured the sand with a measure in His hand. He took a drop of water in His hand and He measured the waters of the earth. Yes, the seas. Now that's kind of a big God. Now if I've got Him involved in my business and I believe that He can solve things, like we've heard, if we believe His word and we declare His word, we prophesy His word, we call those things which are not as though they are by faith, then He comes and He accomplishes His word, because if we live according to His will, He will see to it that it comes to pass. That plan that He has for you. This man that we read about, God's plan for him couldn't have come to pass. It's probably quite possible he ended his life just before God could intervene and do something big with his life. Really big. It is only when we walk in the Spirit that we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, because you can make decisions in the flesh with your business. And you can go and read about that, Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. We make many decisions. I've made many decisions in the past. That's how I got into a lot of debt. Because I looked in the natural. I looked at what was pleasing to me at that point. I didn't think very far. The lust of the flesh. It is when we saw in the spiritual realm with the Holy Spirit that we see what God has planned for our lives, and where we are free from the law of gravity or the law of carnality. He says we need to get rid of that sin which so easily besets us. And we always think in terms of sin, you know. Well, you know, you're smoking cigarettes or you watch that TV program or something like that. No. Those are minors. Sin is sin, yes, but those are minor things. The sin that so easily besets us is the unbelief. We don't believe God. We don't take God's word at face value and say, Lord, this is what you're saying to me. All of us here have a call from God. And I know in my case, what God's called us to do is so massive that there's no way that if God doesn't intervene and do this thing, it'll not happen. I cannot make it happen on my own. It's impossible. It'll take God's supernatural power. And I know some of you here, the same thing. So we need to get rid of those things that cause us to walk in unbelief and not look up. They pull us down, and we look at carnal things here. And carnal, you know, the things that bother us, you know, about our business, for instance. I mean, you could have decided, oh, well, you know, this thing with the auction, and and with the house, and that's never going to happen. Just pick up the phone and say, listen, let's just cancel this deal. And as far as I understand, it was a very large deal. You could have done that. But instead, how many phone calls did we have from you? Please agree. Please agree. Please pray. Please trust the Lord with us. Please trust the Lord. And I said, we agree. We come into agreement in the name of Jesus. The word says, where any two shall agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done of our Father in heaven. And in the Greek, that means that if the thing does not exist, he will actually create it. So in other words, if a person needs a job, and they cannot find a job for their specific qualifications, when believers come together and agree, God will make a job. He will somehow speak to somebody somewhere and say, make this job available. We've seen testimonies over the years. It's just amazing how God can do things. We are in the midst of a spiritual change of season. We're right in the midst of it. When you and I walk in accordance with the leading of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He is our natural life-sustaining element. Because we are in Him and He is in us. When we walk according to His leading, when we live in Him and move in Him and have our being in Him, we will clearly recognize the signs of the approach of a new season. Now, this is a major change of season where we're in. But within your business, within your personal life, from time to time, there are changes of season. Everything's hitting Annika and myself. You know, all the kids leaving at the same time. So that's a massive adjustment for us. We have this massive big house that we bought for our massive big family, and now there's two people living in this massive house. It's quite an adjustment. It's different not to have all these people there. There's always somebody at home, but now that it's different. That on its own is a change of season for us. What do they call it? Empty nest syndrome. But we don't have to get into it. It hasn't really affected us in that sense. The only way that it has affected us, we have more work to do. Our days don't have enough time so we can do all the things we have to do because we had other people working in our office, for instance. So in that sense, it's a change of season. We discern this change of season and understand God's purpose and God's plans as the season changes by the renewal of the mind. And we renew our minds with the Word of God. Let's go to Romans 12 again. You see, these things have to be spiritually discerned before you come into the natural. Because if you're going to look in the natural, you're not going to understand what's happening. You see, the way the Lord uses me, Annika and I have seen the way the Lord uses me. He shows me things up to 3 years in advance. That's what I'm called to do. I see things up to 3 years in advance. That's what he's called to do. Well, that's what I'm called to do. So I have to be obedient to that. And that's my job. So I'm telling you these things. And we're still going to get into a whole lot of other stuff that's going to make you really excited. Because you tap into this change of season, you're really going to tap into God's blessing. You're going to really tap into it. You're going to hit that mother load, as they say. You're going to hit that gusher. You're really going to hit it. But you've got to be positioned correctly. You see, when there's a change of season, you've got to reposition. And it normally requires an increase on your side. God doesn't go down. He doesn't get smaller. He wants us to grow in Him. Spiritually. In our emotions, in our person itself, our personality. Physically, we need to be healthier than ever before. In our relationships need to be better than before. Our finances need to be better than before. Because we've got to help people. There are difficult times ahead, even though God's going to bless us. But those that don't discern the signs of the times, they might lose everything. In 1994, we had a change of season in this country. But those that were aware of what God was doing already in 1990. I have prophecies in my diary that the Lord gave me, and he said, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. You know how many people that were in high places in business overnight lost their jobs? They were down and out on the street. They lost their homes, their cars, everything. They were out on the street. Why? Because it didn't discern the times. And things are just getting tougher now. But for those who are in Christ Jesus and discern God's will, they will walk in God's blessing. Romans chapter 12, from verse 1. And Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and I beg of you. So he's asking kind of, please, you know, please listen to me. In view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive decision or dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. This is a time where we have to judge ourselves and say, God, where am I as a business person? How am I conducting my business? Is everything ethical in my business? Is everything right in my personal life? Is everything right in my marriage? Is everything right with my children, my family? Is everything right? Because that's what it means. You devote yourself completely to him. You serve him completely. And you can serve God in business. You can. Fully. And then he says, this dedicating of yourself to God is your reasonable service. He thinks it's just reasonable to give your whole being to God. To him, it's just, you know, oh, we think, oh, I've got to give my whole life to God, you know. I wonder if this is a good thing. Of course, man, God can take care of you. The biggest thing for us, it's like standing on the edge of a massive cliff. And you don't know it, and you have a blindfold on, and somebody says jump, and then you know, and you feel there's nothing there, but and the wind is kind of blowing, and you shout, "Hello, is there someone there?" And then it talks back to you, "Hello, is there someone there?" And you know, if I jump off here, I don't know how far I'm going to fall, and it's kind of like that with God. God expects us to jump, but you know what? When you fall at the bottom, you're cushioned. God catches you. What do we sometimes do? Hello, is there someone else up there? Someone else to give you an instruction. And that's what Paul is saying. But Paul is saying it's a reasonable thing just to throw yourself on the mercy of God. It's a reasonable thing. And I mean, my wife and I, we've walked this walk for a long time and we've done that. It's not easy sometimes in the sense that our own thinking, our own mind wants to say, no, no, Nick, you can't do that. That's too much of a risk. I mean, how much of a risk was it for Jesus to die on that cross? For those of us who have seen the Passion of the Christ, he knew that that was going to happen to him, but he knew that the rewards of him doing that would produce us. I mean, surely his mind said, yeah, but you know, what if this doesn't work? I go through all of this, and what if it doesn't work? It did. It did go through his mind. How do we know? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? When he was sweating blood, droplets of blood, what did he say? Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass me by. How many times did he pray that? 3 times. So it was kind of a temptation. This price, Lord, because he had to take the sin of humanity past, humanity present, and humanity future. He had to take all of that on himself and be punished for it. And if you've seen that movie in the natural, you see what happened to him. And you see in that movie as well, you see the snake come and say, well, can one man pay the price for all of this? But one man did, because that one man wasn't just man, he was God. So if Paul says to us, it's a reasonable thing to take your business and everything and just say, God, here it is, I want your will to be done. I mean, I'm sure you won't mind me using you again as an example. I mean, a year ago, you were still two poor little missionaries. I mean, you were out in the mission field for how many years? 3.5, 4 years? Okay. And I mean, you were in the ministry before? And before that, what were you doing? Is it? You had a prayer ministry for a while. But here you are. If you compare 3.5, 4 years ago to where you are now, it's a complete change of season. But you're in a change of season again. God has turned things around for you. It can only be God. You've done the work, but if I listen to some of the deals that you're getting, it can only be God. But I know the two of you. I've known you for many years. I mean, I've known both of you for at least 20 years. And I know that you've given your lives to the Lord. You've just said, Lord, here it is. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. And you've stood on the word. And you've stood faithfully on the word. So you understand this thing, which he says, it's your reasonable service just to give yourselves to God. How do we renew our minds to this thing that is happening? He says in verse 2 of Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal. That word renewal in the Greek means to renovate of your mind. Of your what? Your mind. Because when you're born again, God lives in your spirit, man. And your spirit is not your mind. You are a threefold being. Your spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. And your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Your spirit is the eternal part of you that comes from God. It's the breath of God, the ruach of God. That was when God created Adam, he breathed into him, ruach, spirit. That's the eternal part of you that never dies. Your body will die. But what makes Howard, particularly Howard in his personality, is his soul. And it's the soul where the mind is, and that's what's got to be renewed. Do not be conformed to this world. Now that word world doesn't mean the world out here. It means the system of this world. It means the way of thinking of this world. Not the earth world. That's what it means. So you need to think differently. You need to think differently about your business, especially now that we're in a new season. There are new ideas coming. There are new ways of doing things. I mean, the internet has brought a major change in how people conduct business. And I'm going to share on that. In 10 or 15 years' time, do you know what's going to happen then? Almost everything will be done via the internet because computers and the internet and everything will be so refined and the systems will work so well that people will not go to school. People will go to school from home because they can do it online. They'll have a permanent telephone connection that doesn't cost the earth. I mean, already in overseas countries like America, those connections are free. They have 24-hour connections. They don't pay for them. And it's going to happen in the rest of the world. Kids are not going to go to school anymore. They will only get together for certain things. A lot of business will be completely decentralized. I mean, already it's happening. We're seeing that. People are working at home. I mean, that man over there, Andre Hunter, works at home. And already you're relying quite a bit on the internet. And that business plan of yours relies totally on the internet. That medical thing of yours. And it's going to produce big for you. Once that thing's running, it's going to produce big. But you have to have the internet. You could not do that before he had the internet. You couldn't do it. At this moment, you're still doing it manually, running from client to client, collecting all the information. But he's got an excellent plan, and it's almost there. And we'll all hear about it when it's there. It's all done via the internet. But in 10, 15 years' time, a lot of business is going to be done that way. Money transfers, we're already transferring money that way. It's a whole change of season. And we will get into that because historically, we can look back and we can see, like Martin Luther. Martin Luther's birth and the invention of the printing press, they happened at the same time. And the printing press did what for us? If the printing press didn't come out, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't have computers. Paul says, Romans 12 verse 2, be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. The entire renewal or renovation. How do you renovate a couch? That beautiful couch that you have and the dogs have been sitting on it now. It's like the couches in our house. Not that the dogs have been sitting on them. But they need to be renovated. So what do when we renovate them? We strip the cloth off. We strip the foam and padding off. If it's damaged and so on, we strip it completely off until we've got the structure of this couch. Then we look to see if the nails are rusted, if the screws are still fine, if some of the wood is broken. We replace those parts that are broken. We cover it again with the proper padding and etc. And we put beautiful new material on it. And it looks like a new couch. But is it a new couch? No, it's a renovated couch. So that's what God wants us to do. Our thinking has to be changed. We were talking just now outside, you know, about traditions and why certain people just don't want to change and they expect other people to do things for them and so on. Yeah, but what's in it for me? Why is that? Because I haven't renewed this thing. This cranial cavity between your two ears, that's your problem. Why do you think Jesus died on the place of the skull? Because it's this thing. But you can only renew this with the help of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it'll never happen. You'll get all sorts of other influences. I mean, imagine the cross. God took the cross like a dagger and he stuck it into the place of the skull. Like that. And the blood of Jesus was shed and it was dripping onto that place. This is where the problem is. This is where you have the scales in your head. Well, should I do this? Or should I do that? Or should I do this? It's the same as in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And notice, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A lot of things are done in this world, but it's done with from the wrong tree. It's the wrong fruit. They're good things, but they're from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it says it will produce death in the end. It will produce destruction. When Christ comes and you enable him or allow him to renew your mind and you spend time with him and you spend time in his word, he's going to give you business ideas and he's going to give you insight and you will have no doubt. You will not have this thing, well, should I do this or shouldn't I? Because you are led by the Spirit of God. I mean, we all know Kenneth Copeland. I mean, 35 years ago, more or less then, God told him to buy an old Second World War airfield as their ministry base. They didn't even know that there was oil on there. But God told him, buy that property. He said, but God, why must I buy that? He said, because I want you to buy it. They bought it at a reasonable price. Then they went, the Lord said to him, there's oil on this place. And he said, really? Yes. And so they went and drilled. But at that time, 20 or 30 years ago, oil. They could not get the oil out because it's a special kind of shale. So you need special technology to actually get the oil out because it's like sponge. And so it's got all the oil soaked into it. And there is gas, yes. But there's oil. And so they needed special technology to get that out. The technology did not exist 25 years or 30 years ago. It didn't. So they knew it was there. It's only in the last 10 years that the technology became available for them to get that oil and gas out. Now they're running the entire ministry, the electricity and their machinery and everything from generators that are powered by the gas and so on. And when it's necessary, they switch into the electric companies, the main circuit of Texas. But generally, they're self-supporting. They have a massive lake there. They have their own water. They have everything. They're completely self-sufficient in that. But 55 years ago, when God told him to buy that thing, he didn't know that. Can you imagine how much money they're saving? In fact, they can probably put electricity into the network. And they're probably doing that, and they're probably getting paid for it. But only God could have known that, because Kenneth Copeland, before he got saved, he was basically a gangster. Used to ride bikes and beat people up, and that was his kicks. And then God saved him, and he got into aviation, and then he sold airplanes for a while, and then he got into the ministry. So what kind of training does he have? Nothing much. It's only by renewing his mind with the Word of God. And that's what it says here. We need to do that. And why must we do that? He says here, be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. See, you get new ideals when your mind is renewed. Then he says, and this is the key, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Probably the question that we are asked the most from people when we minister in churches and wherever we go: how do I know the will of God for my life? And that's the answer. You've got to renew your mind with the Word of God so that you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. That's how you do it. How are you going to find out what God wants you to do now in this change of season? You're going to have to renew your mind with the Word of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 from verse 20. Proverbs 10 from verse 20. The tongue of those who are upright and in right standing with God is as choice silver. Why? Because they speak according to the Word of God. Then it says in the same verse, the mind of those who are wicked and out of harmony with God is of little value. And you and I have to, at this point, look at those areas in our mind, in our thinking, where we are out of line with God, because then our minds and our thinking patterns are of little value. And if they are little value spiritually, then of what value are they going to be in the natural? What value is it going to generate for you in your business? Nothing. If you don't know how to fly airplanes, don't try and fly one. You will not even get off the ground. You'll crash off the thing, because first of all, you don't steer it with your hands, you steer it with your feet. And jet aircraft, you steer with the brakes. It's got a left brake and a right brake. So you lock the left brake slightly to turn it left, and you lock the right one. And if you get that out of phase, man, you lock the one wheel and that thing starts turning around and around. We've seen that. And especially if you go fast, if you're taking off or something like that and you lock the one brake, you're in trouble. We saw what student pilots did to aeroplanes. Because their head and their hands and stuff get out of phase, and then it reverts back to, oh yes, my car works like this. And they try and turn with the steering wheel, and there is no steering wheel in a military plane. It's a stick. You steer, if you're on the ground, with your feet, with brakes. So if you're not trained as a pilot, please don't fly an aeroplane. It's the same, I can say, if you're not trained as a truck driver, don't try and drive a truck down the highway. But you know what? If you have a vision to be a truck driver, then you start finding out about it. You start renewing your mind. You find out what God wants. God says, I want you to be the best truck driver that there is. I want you to cart apples from Barrow and from Ceres in the Cape up to Johannesburg and up to Bite Bridge and wherever. I want you to do that. And you say, but Lord, I can't even drive a car properly. And the Lord says to you, I've given you that promise. Find out. And you study and you learn. And you get all the theory behind you. You find out all the facts. What do I do to get the apples? Who can I sell the apples to? And before you know it, you'll be a truck driver. And you have one of those fancy big ones, you know, nice big black one with a beautiful silver grill in the front, you know, and tinted windows, and it's got a little ducky roof in the front like that, and you know, it's got red flames down the side, and it's got a big, beautiful silver exhaust on the side. And when you open the door, it's beautifully air-conditioned, and the seats. Have you seen these things? The seats can sit up and down and sideways and skew and rest, and it's got a hi-fi like you can't believe. I mean, you know, just you can drive it, but you must know how to drive that thing. And your apples and stuff and the oranges, they all sit in the back, beautiful and comfortable, and they arrive fresh because you arrive fresh. Because you've done your homework. In America, the truck driving thing is quite big. Maybe, I don't know if you know about that, Elise. It's a big thing over there. And you own your own truck normally. 18-wheelers. And you save up for your truck. And those things, I've seen them in the movies and on TV. They're shiny. They're beautiful. And they privately owned normally. And you contract yourself out to the big companies and say, I will transport your goods from the one side of America to the other side, which, I don't know, they take days to travel that distance. Our country is not that big. But for some people, that is their life's ambition, to be the best truck driver. And there's a Christian Truck Drivers Association in America where the Christian truck drivers get together and they have the least accidents and they have the least problems with their freight, and so it goes on. It's somebody's dream and vision. So if truck drivers can be successful truck drivers, the best truck drivers, surely we can be the best property salespeople or the best marketing specialists or whatever we are. But we've got to renew our minds to the Word of God. We've got to find out what He says. Proverbs 10:20, the mind of those who are wicked and out of harmony with God is of little value. Let me tell you something. Information can be turned into wealth. We're living right now in that age where information is worth an incredible amount of money. And if you can know how to renew your mind and take that information that you know and turn it into your product and impart it into your business, it'll generate money for you. Because if you're in business, that's what you're about. I mean, don't be, you know, so many Christians, they're so holy, you know. No, but money is evil. Money isn't evil, it's the love of it that's evil. You must own the money. The money mustn't own you. Verse 21 of Proverbs 10. The lips of the uncompromisingly righteous feed and guide many. With what? With the words. I've given advice to many people. And because of the advice of my mouth, they're living good lives. A number of people have become millionaires. Yesterday a man phoned me. I've been counseling him. He's a government leader. He's up in government, quite high up. Phoned me yesterday. I've been counseling, that's longer than 4 years. We've been counseling him for 8 years, because we started counseling him 4 years before we left Pretoria. Just about. So it's 8 years. 4 years ago, the Lord said to me to tell him that he needs to get out of his government department and start his own business. Yes, the Lord has been telling me that. So I said, you better start planning. It's 4 years down the line. He's so unhappy in his job now that he can... Yeah, but 4 years since I've counseled him. 4 years since the Lord spoke to him and me, get out of the job. Yesterday he phoned me and he said, everything that you ever told me, the Lord has brought it to my remembrance, and I have to get out there. Because his work has even regressed, that he's giving for the government, and he wants to give excellent work. And he says, I cannot give the same quality. I said, God told you to get out of there. You better get out. Yeah, but you're telling me I've got to just step out in faith? I said, yes. I said, start writing down your thing. What do you want to do? And he told me what he told me 2 years ago. The business plan hasn't changed. It's still exactly the same as 2 years ago. So I said, you better phone a few people and find out who wants your service. Oh, you really think so? And he was sighing. I mean, I've never heard him like that. He's sighing over so loudly over the phone. But that's so difficult. I said, God told you, you better be obedient, otherwise you're not going to be blessed anymore. So anyway, he makes one or two phone calls. One of the people he phoned, he said, you should have phoned me already. I have so much work of this kind, I will give it to you from now on. So he phones me back and says, I spoke to this person, and it's one person already will give me enough business to step out in faith. You take what I say to you and work with it. You will also feed and guide many. You see what it says? The lips of the righteous feed and guide many. I'm guiding you. Fools die for want of understanding. That's why you renew your mind, so you can get understanding. Get understanding of where we are. I'm closing with this statement. If you can discern correctly at this point, and we still have grace for a year or two or three. If you can discern exactly what God wants you to do now, and you put your whole heart in it, and you believe God fully for it. Remember I said we are a turn of a century and we are a turn of a millennium. And historically, and we'll get into that, the things that were invented at the beginning of each millennium and at the beginning of each century, the first 5 to 10 years, it sets the tone for the rest of the century. Today, you and I are driving motor cars. Just at the beginning of the 19th century. Is it the 19th century or the 20th century? The 20th century. The car was invented. Everything that we do today revolves around the motor car. Without a motor car, you can't do anything. But we have a change. The internet. Motor cars are going to start becoming less and less and less because fossil fuels, etc., it's dwindling. So we have to find another way to do things. So the internet is perfect. We won't have to take the kids to school, for instance, because they sit at home. We will use public transport. Public transport is going to be more refined. Metro rail, all of those things. South Africa may be slightly behind the times, but we will catch up. If we believe it, we as Christians can change this thing around. Don't wait for the government. It's not the government. If they slow on the uptake, that's fine. God can give you enough money. You know there's oil in the Karoo. We know a man that did the seismic tests and everything. He has the maps. We've seen the seismic reports. There's oil in the Karoo. It's viable oil, but you need a lot of money because it's extremely deep. I've seen the maps. I know the man. Where is he now? Does he live in Madeira now? So you know what nationality he is. But he loves this country. And he's a believer, and he has not been able to find anybody that wants to invest that kind of money, because nobody wants to trust anybody with that kind of money. There's oil in this country. There's so much oil there that we'll be able to export. There it is. I've seen the charts. I've seen the seismic tests and all of that. We've seen it. She was there as well. But they need billions. To start with oil, I mean, to get that whole process going, it costs a lot of money. But once it's going, this country has massive potential because the people have massive potential. But you know what? If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God within you. And then nothing is impossible to you. You just got to believe it. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for what you have shared with us tonight. Father, we thank you that you help us to renew our minds. Father, we thank you that you lead us and guide us by your Spirit in your Word so we can read and study that which you have for us. Father, we thank you that you speak to us through dreams and visions, through the Word of knowledge. You speak to us clearly concerning our lives, concerning our purpose, and concerning the vision that you have for us. Father, we thank you that you bring the correct people across our path that will speak into our lives. Men and women of wisdom and insight and understanding that can speak into our lives so we can discern the season and understand where you want us to go. Yes, Lord, if we discern this season correctly, we will be able to generate finances, not only for ourselves, but for our children, for our children's children, and for their children. We thank you, Lord, as we go, that your presence abides with us and in us, and that you will never leave us or forsake us. And we thank you, Lord, that we see your mighty hand working in us, and we will see again in this week your mighty hand working in our lives. In Jesus' name.